ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Wednesday, March 6th, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins, as always, on the show with us today, live on a line, live from Ireland, to talk about the Belgian League, Jupiler League. Mark Rodon, a commentator of the Belgian League, joins us to talk about Pozuelo, Jonathan David, and the Jupiler League. First of all, good morning for us, but good morning for good afternoon for you, Mark.
Yeah, late afternoon here. Good, sure, to be Mark. On the show.
Thanks for coming on. I followed this very closely, this transfer, having covered TFC for many years now, and obviously there was excitement here, but it seemed like it was massive news in Belgium. Can you sort of articulate just how big this transfer saga was in for those that follow the Belgian league?
Yeah, look, it was a little bit unexpected. It sort of broke early February, and actually I was on the game that Genk won to go 12 points clear in Belgium at the top of the table. Pozuelo brilliant in it. So everyone was thinking, you know, this really fantastic team to watch is going to go on and win the league title for the first time since 2011. But Suelo substituted very late on in that game, standing ovation. He's in tears as he comes off, and very long embrace with the coach. And then suddenly it breaks that, you know, he's going to leave, or he wants to leave. So it turned pretty ugly pretty quickly for him for a week or two. Genk's form has dropped off as well. They're now only 6 points clear at the top, and the Belgian league is a little bit crazy in that they have a top six playoffs at the end of the season where the points from the regular campaign are halved, and then the top six play each other home and away. So you can really make up the ground in the playoffs. So losing a player like Pozuelo, who creates so many goals and is the, you know, the key player on the team is huge for Genk.
It always seemed to me from watching this from afar that there was kind of maybe a disconnect between the management, the folks negotiating this transfer, and the technical staff, who seemed to understand that this player had moved on mentally and were kind of looking to move on themselves, from what my take was. Is that an accurate description in your mind?
It's a little complicated, I guess, because he's had this release clause in his contract. And it was supposed to be about 8 million euros. And the club resisted basically all offers in January. And the most transfer windows closed in January in Europe and elsewhere around the world. And they thought this was it, you know, that they got away with it. They were going to keep him till the end of the season. And actually, he did a press conference, which he's now kind of said he was kind of forced into doing, where he said he was turning down a particularly lucrative offer from Saudi Arabia. This was sort of in the middle of January, late January, and was going to stay with Genk. You know, they were going very well in European competition, in the Europa League, top of the league, playing great football. He wanted to see this through. He's there 3.5 years. Great way to finish if he can, you know, maybe move on in the summer, having won a league title, maybe got very deep into the Europa League. And then all of a sudden, you know, this offer emerges from Toronto, and it clearly affected the team. You know, directly after that Standard Liège win I'm talking about on 8th of February, they played the last 32 tie against Slavia Prague in the Europa League in the Czech Republic, first leg away. Genk, I would say, favourites in that one, but Pozuelo didn't start because, you know, his head wasn't there. They drew nil all. They lost the second leg. They haven't won in 5 games since this all started. You know, they've had 3 draws and 2 defeats in all competitions. So it is a case now, I think, of this compromise being worked so that Genk can get at least a little bit more of fully focused Pozuelo, get, you know, 6 points from the last 2 games of the regular season, and then he can move to Toronto. Not ideal, but a little better than it was going to be, maybe.
I'm wondering, Mark, from our side of the Atlantic, we had this view that the Genk was trying a bit to impede the movement from the player because of their success they had this year, and they want to make sure that this year was going to be a successful year. But while restraining his movement and making big demands, they destroyed the chemistry of the team too, because he didn't want to be there, didn't want to play, and the whole team chemistry seems from the outside that it fell apart. How is this transfer viewed on the other side of the Atlantic? Is it maybe viewed in a way that Genk did it on himself? Do they put the blame of the results on the Toronto aspect, on the fact that the player wanted to leave? Does Pozuelo himself gather criticism for wanting to leave and putting his team on the table? I'm just wondering the perception and the optics of this situation from the other side of the Atlantic.
Yeah, look, it is very complicated, because it's not usual that, you know, a guy that talented would have this release clause for, in European terms, what's a relatively low transfer fee, around 8 million, you know. And as I say, Genk thought they had got through it, that they would have him until the end of the season, and we're looking to renegotiate his contract and say that, right, you know, we'll probably let you go in the summer, but for a better fee. And you can leave, you know, no problem, no hard feelings, sort of thing. So they understood that, the club understood, as far as I understand it, that Pozuelo, you know, would leave, that he couldn't leave until the next transfer window. His representatives would argue that the next transfer window was actually Major League Soccer. So it's a tricky sort of situation, and I guess you can imagine a top player over there turns around, is seen publicly to say, I want to stay here, I want to see this through, and then a couple of weeks later goes, listen guys, I've changed my mind. But again, you know, you have to look at it from his point of view as well. You know, he's got two young kids. By all accounts, in the Belgian press, he's going to triple his salary, and I've seen, you know, people say that in Canada, maybe, you know, is he a mercenary type player? Is he just here moving for the money? And I'd push back against that strongly, you know, because if it was about the money, he would have gone to Saudi Arabia, he would have gone to China. He didn't do that, you know. So it's Toronto's an interesting project for him as well. He could have left in the summer, and there would have been a host of teams queuing up to sign him in Europe as well. He's a guy who had a little bit of Premier League experience, didn't really work out, came to Belgium, and it's just, you know, been an absolute joy to watch. Peak of his powers, he's 27, you know, so Toronto, if any fans are worried about, you know, this guy coming over, maybe not trying that hard, he's moving for the sporting project as well. He's, you know, as I say, peak of his powers. Victor Vasquez, I think, moved over when he was 30, so on the cusp of maybe dropping off a little quality-wise. Toronto are going to get the best of Pozuelo, and that's something, you know, TFC fans should really be very excited about.
Well, it's a good thing you're talking about this, Mark, because that's where I was going. You're talking about Pozuelo on the field. What does Pozuelo on the field look like? How does he influence games? How was he so important for Genk, and what will he bring to Toronto FC?
He's going to be a lot of fun, I think. He's one of these players, they're rare enough in football that, you know, they can just see a pass that, you know, or they see a couple of moves ahead before anyone else does, like a chess player or something almost. You know, it's just, even at the weekend, he basically made the goal. He wouldn't get directly credited for the assist, but the pass that split the defense was just on his left foot. He can use both feet. He's comfortable off both. Defense-splitting pass, you know, against a really strong team defensively, with his left foot in between two defenders, incredible vision. That's his main talent, is his vision. But he's also, you know, he's a captain's armband with Genk. He's a leader. Although a lot of Genk fans pushed back after the move and weren't too happy. But he scores goals. He's got 5 in the league, 2 in the Europa League this season. 9 assists in the league, 5 assists in the Europa League. And again, you know, statistics are brilliant, but they don't tell the whole story, because he's the guy, he might play the final pass, but he'll play the pass just before that that sets up the move. He so often does that. And he's combative as well. You know, if you're comparing him, he's a little similar to Vasquez, but he's a bit more physical. And, you know, likes to get on the ball, likes to put himself about. He picks up a fair few yellow cards as well. He's, you know, he defends himself quite well. So he's primed, I think, for Major League Soccer. I'd be intrigued to see how he does. But, you know, it's a bit of pressure coming with that, you know, that price on his head and the salary he's reportedly getting. But he will be the guy to unlock defenses for Toronto, for sure. He's just brilliant. He's always probing, always getting on the ball, always looking to stuff to make stuff happen. And he's not the type of guy who hides on the pitch, put it that way.
Having stood pitch side for the second game of the Champions League game, the TFC bowed out on, I can tell you that they need someone to unlock defenses. Tell me a little bit about the Belgian League for those that aren't familiar with it. Sort of what would it compare to in a European context? I wouldn't expect you to have a great comparison in terms of what Major League Soccer and it would look like, but what other leagues in Europe is it similar to that our listeners might be familiar with?
I mean, the Belgian League has been on the up for a good while. On a European scale, it's above the Dutch League. For example, you saw what Ajax did to Real Madrid, maybe in the Champions League. A few people listening, you know, while Belgian clubs mightn't go far all the way in Europe, they are consistently good the last few years in Europe. And as I say, this playoff system where you have these 10 really crunch games at the end of the season with the top teams playing is really exciting, and I think lends it to being a great development league. And you just got to look at the Belgian national side as well, all these players who came through. The last time Genk won the league was 2011, Thibaut Courtois now at Real Madrid, Kevin De Bruyne of Manchester City, again, similar player to Botswello, by the way, were both on that Genk side coming through. It's a great development league. It's really attacking, lots of goals, and really competitive edge as well. So you'll see a lot of players move on from Belgium as well to Premier League clubs. You know, again, using the Genk example, you have Wilfred Ndidi at Leicester, Leon Bailey at Bayer Leverkusen, who are, you know, especially Bailey, real up-and-coming players. Yuri Tielemans now at Leicester as well. It's it rewards attacking players, I think. And again, you know, MLS fans would know as well that it is physical as well. It does have a lot of tough and rugged defenders as well. When you look at guys like Jelle Van Damme, who was at LA, and of course Laurent Simon as well, who's done quite well in North America.
Let's turn our attention to an emerging young Canadian player that has a lot of people over here excited. Kind of came out of the blue for Canadian Observer, Jonathan David. Forget has had a good year. Talk a little bit about his game and sort of how he's perceived in Belgium right now.
Yeah, I think he's maybe gone a little under the radar, both over there and in Europe and in the Belgian league. Even I don't think Ghent have, you know, understandably, they haven't put him out for interview or anything that much. It can be confusing. He's playing for a different team, not Genk, but Ghent with a T at the end. They're seventh in the league at the moment. They're pushing for that top six playoff with a couple of games to go. He exploded onto the scene. He joined Ghent in January 2018. Didn't make his debut until August at the very start of the season. Within a couple of minutes, it scored an injury time equalizer. A few days later, he scored a winner away from home in Poland in a Europa League tie. Then he scored two more goals. And, you know, someone pointed out he'd scored as many as some of the teams in the league himself after like three matches or whatever. 5-5, and I think it was 110 minutes. You know, he was introduced as a substitute early on. Gets a new contract straight away, tied to the club until 2022. And Ghent had a change of manager in November. So it was a difficult time for a young player as well, in and out of the side, instability at the club. He's made 10 starts since the end of November in the league. He's Ghent's top scorer now, 8 goals. He's made 3, 21 matches, just 12 starts, I think it is. And, you know, 10 goals in all competitions. This is a guy who's, you know, just taken to the Belgian Pro League and to, you know, physical, tough, hard, grown men's soccer like a duck to water almost. You know, he's had his ups and downs, but he's really come back into the thick of it in the last few weeks. Ghent pretty much playing cup finals at this stage every week. You know, one slip up for them at this stage of the campaign and they're gonna miss out on the top six. And they've won their last two matches. Jonathan David was starting. He scored at the weekend. Brilliant goal as well. Just simple finish in the end, but he made it that way. You know, he's only eight yards out or so, 10 yards out, but he just dummied to shoot. Defender falls on his face. Goalkeeper falls on his face. Empty net goal. It's just, you know, to have that speed of thought. You know, you look at a first time, you might go, that's a simple finish, but my God, he made fools of those two guys. And there has been talk already, you know, that a lot of big German teams in particular are tracking his progress.
Mark, as you can probably tell, Dwayne and I live and breathe Major League Soccer and North American soccer, and especially Canadian soccer. And the last two questions I'm going to ask you might seem a bit callous on our part, but we don't get a chance to talk to someone on the other side of the Atlantic on a daily basis. So here's my questions. How is Major League Soccer perceived now in your part of the world? It's week one that started. Is there an excitement? Do people talk about Major League Soccer? Do soccer fans across the pond actually are aware that it started this weekend?
Well, I think the major thing going against it over here is obviously the time difference. But I think people acknowledge as well that it's getting better. It's definitely getting better, and it was going to take time to pick up. And I think that's reflected as well, just from, you know, not being too familiar with how these guys are getting on when they get over, I guess. But I think that the age profile of guys leaving Europe is coming down. You know, so you had Wayne Rooney, you had Bastian Schweinsteiger, two huge names going over. And you had, I mean, you've got big Premier League players. I don't know, over here, the impression is someone like Steven Gerrard went over and thought, like, this is going to be easy, and then found, you know, it's not, you know.
That was our impression, too. Don't worry. That was the impression of everyone who saw Steven Gerrard play for Galaxy.
Yeah, you know, so I think it's a tough league, and it's not to be underestimated at this stage. And I think it's going to get better in the other sense as well, because there's guys coming over. I'm sure you're well aware, and maybe it's something you wanted to talk about as well. You've got guys coming over like, you know, Tyler Adams has just joined Leipzig, done really well, you know, having come from New York. Alphonso Davies, obviously at Bayern Munich now, and just all through the, you know, the Bundesliga in particular, are really taking a shine to these young American and Canadian players, the likes of Weston McKennie at Schalke, Christian Pulisic moving on to Chelsea from Borussia Dortmund. Josh Sargent is doing really, really well, promising at Werder Bremen. And that's going to help it as well. You know, that's definitely going to help. It's a two-way process, I think. You know, the league has to be producing the players, and then you're going to get more players want to be part of that league as well. You know, you look at Atlanta as well, played some great football. I think they really caught the eye last season over in Europe as well. Miguel Almiron has moved on to Newcastle. It started really well. Again, that's all good for MLS, and it's just about building it up slowly, you know.
Mark Rodin, commentator for the Belgian Jupiter League, thank you very much for your time today, and we wish you a great evening and a great end of the Belgian season.
Oh, it will be fun. Sure to that. Even without Pozzuolo.
Yeah,
be fun.
Even without Pozzuolo.
got Jonathan David, so it's going to be great.
And we'll keep on following the Jupiter League because we've got a little Canadian boy in the league. Mark, thank you so much. You can follow Mark on Twitter at mroden. We will be right back after this short break.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And we're back on Soccer Today. I'm Kevin Laramie. I'll be joined by Dwayne Rollins in just a few seconds. Dwayne is back with us as well. Dwayne, before we move on to talk about the Champions League, oh man, that's hilarious. Any final thoughts on Pozuelo? Because after this moment, we're not going to talk about Pozuelo until he plays his first game, because I'm sick and tired of talking about Pozuelo.
Everything that Mark said sort of backed up what I saw with my eyes in terms of what kind of player he will be, and I think PSG fans should be excited to watch him come in. But as you say, yeah, it's time for what was the theme of our preview show? It's time to show me, not tell me. So I think it's an exciting player. I'm more excited about what he said about David, though. That was reassuring to hear that conversation.
Yeah, it is, and we'll see how it unfolds. But until Pozuelo starts and plays for Toronto FC, we're going to take a little break of the Pozuelo watch, and we'll move on with the rest of our lives. And that should be positive for everyone. And Toronto got their guy, and we'll see how it actually unfolds in front of our eyes on the pitch. Let's talk about Champions League quickly. We'll talk about the CCL Champions League, Dwayne, because there's not that much to talk about. Santos Laguna 2, Red Bulls 0 at Red Bull Arena. And then Houston Dynamo and Tigres in Houston. That felt like a home game for the Dynamo. For Tigres. The third of the stadium was filled with Tigres fans. So that game felt like a home game for Tigres, and they scored like it was a home game with 4-0 against Houston Dynamo. So Liga MX 6, MLS 0 last night.
Yeah, I hope the guys the next time radio are okay. Their MLS fever's breaking in the up note. That was a little catty, but nonetheless, when I'm hearing these scores, I can almost hear the Price is Right losing song. It's like the Red Bulls one's got to hurt MLS perspective, but I really didn't, honestly, and we talked about this the other day, is that, look, individually and a game-to-game basis, you can have occasional times when MLS teams can step up, but they're still behind. They're still clearly behind. And, look, it's getting better, but they're going to have to, you know, continue to do the things that they've been doing over the last 3 or 4 years in terms of adding more TAM to the league. Maybe even just getting rid of all the GAM, TAM, BAM, RAM, RAM, RAM stuff and just let teams spend to a certain amount might be the way to. But until they're matching these teams in terms of their overall expenditure, they're not going to consistently beat them. And to lose two games at home, well, that's a bit of a hit, especially the Red Bulls. I think a lot of people thought they might be the one of MLS teams that could get it done. We'll see Kansas City, obviously, with the easier touch, although Toronto thought the same thing. So we'll wait and see how that plays out tonight rather than before we hand it to them. But, Santos Laguna is a damn good team, as we've seen. Personally, both of us in the past, and Tigres,
yep.
I certainly saw it in the past. They're my favorite to win this competition. I think they're clearly the best. Well, them and Monterrey. Everything goes through Monterrey now, right?
Yep.
That is the center of North American football, club football.
Well, it kind of is. to be fair, it kind of is. One of the best two teams in the entire continent are from Monterrey. Rayados Monterrey, of course, and as well of Tigres. So we'll keep an eye on the other games tonight. There is the Atlanta game tonight, and there is also the Sporting Kansas City game tonight as well. Yesterday afternoon, though, Real Madrid at the Bernabeu against Ajax. And we thought, Real Madrid's got this. It's just gonna. But no, Ajax played like it was 1992, and they scored 4 on Real Madrid to boot out the triple champions out of the Champions League. We're going to have a new Champions League winner in 2019.
Thank God.
You're happy, right? Because usually Madrid or Barcelona kick City out. At least Madrid's out there, so City's got a chance.
And I have a little bit of a leaning towards the other side of Madrid too. So all in all, but just in terms of, you know, change is nice. It's like the same reason people like to see Dortmund on top of the Bundesliga right now, although they're doing their best to maybe screw that up.
And it won't stay that way because Bayern's coming, but it's yes.
It's a turtle race right now at the top of that league. But nonetheless, it's look, there's every so often, every year, the Champions League makes me like sit up and go, whoa, what is happening at least once a year.
That was Juve versus Barca last year, and this year is Ajax. Sorry to interject.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I'll pick my own stab here. It was Monaco beating City a couple years ago. And that Monaco team reminds me a lot of this Ajax team in the sense that they're young and they're fast and they're offensively minded and they're exciting to watch. And you could, oh my God, all of the old timers watching that game, you could hear them standing up and cheering. A lot of people were going into their closet looking for that 90s version I with the pop collars strips. So yeah, there was a lot of old school stuff coming back there yesterday. But yeah,
you know what else? You know what else links Monaco with Ajax? Colors of the jersey. Both red and white, Ajax. You know, a little shout out to our friend Aaron Papernick, a longtime Ajax fan, and his avatar on Twitter has been him in his Ajax jersey for forever. And I felt good for him yesterday. I'm like, oh yeah, good for you, man. Good for every Dutch people I know, and good for every Ajax fan everywhere.
Aaron didn't have to drag it out at the back of the closet like a few people,
because he wears it on a daily basis, anyways.
Yeah, it was fun to watch too. Like Ajax is full measure. I mean, the other side of that coin is what's going on in Madrid. Well, the free kick reminded me of the free kick against Chivas scored against Bono last year. Only this time, I don't think there was anything that could have done.
Only this time, it wasn't the keeper's fault. Just
it was perfectly placed. Whether it was a cross or not, we could debate that. But if it wasn't, it was a hell of a shot.
Who knows? If you ask the players, obviously, of course, I meant to do that. What do you think? Come on, you never ask a player if he meant to do that. Cause that's like, it's like an insult. So, yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, but, you know, and of course the team all in white did win yesterday. The Spurs got the 1-0 win over Dortmund to put the Germans out of the Champions League. That was going into the tie. But
this tie was already put away. It was, 3-0 for Tottenham? But they got the good result, and that's just good. But it's an interesting result because between you and I felt Dortmund was the favorite in that tie because of the last few years in the Champions League for Tottenham, where when it gets to big clubs, when it gets to a big important home and away series, they crap the bed. And this time, Tottenham was full measure. And no one wants to face Tottenham right now in the Champions League because they can be dangerous. Like, Kane,
that's pretty much all their three straight draws have pretty much eliminated them from the title race. It's a two-horse race in England now. So they can put all of their eggs in that basket, right? They're under the FA Cup as well. So it's all in on the Champions League. For Spurs, it's going to seem surreal if the team that never wins could get it done in that competition. But you're absolutely right. It's that you start thinking, is that your dark horse right there? I don't know who to handicap. You know, actually, if I had to pick right now, I'm not picking City because I'm not.
you don't want to jinx it. No jinxing.
No, but let's not sleep on Barcelona. Start there, although they still have some work to do in the second half of the tie.
Barcelona? Never heard of it. Never heard of them.
Yeah, exactly. Don't sleep on Atleti either, because this is a team that has proven that they can play in this competition. They know how to play a two-legged tie, and with the big result in the first leg against Juve, maybe they finally get past their nemesis in Ronaldo, and they're another team that's dangerous. But yeah,
don't sleep on Juve, too. Ronaldo.
Yeah, exactly. They can come back from there.
So did you see any image? Because for sure someone did that photoshopped image. For sure it exists. Of Zidane and Ronaldo leaving the ship before it sinks. Because, what we can think is if you're a Doctor Who fan like Dwayne or a space fan like other TV shows, I think Ronaldo and Zidane saw the writing on the wall and pressed the escape button. And jumped into the escape pod and landed back on Earth before the ship sank. Because, I still don't understand what happened with Madrid this year. I'm still, baffled.
I think they're just stale, is what it comes down to. Right? Teams need to be refreshed every so often. Real Madrid's probably just a year past due, right? There's a little bit of mold on the end of the bread right now. Gotta cut that off, and they'll be fine, though.
Yeah, they'll be fine. All right. There's more games today, and we'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow is Two Solid Dudes Thursday, so Dwayne and I will talk about Canadian soccer and the Canadian Premier League. There's a new player signing every single day. Issei Nakajima Faran has signed for Pacific FC, the former Montreal Impact, and the former, I would say, the one of the biggest Canadian globetrotters in the world of soccer, for sure. He's back to Canada. He stayed a few years in Malaysia, and the artist is now playing for Pacific FC. That's a great move. Ian Hume is now free. He's on a free transfer. His contract has been it's done with the Indian Super League. So you might have an announcement in the next few days that Ian Hume might come to the Canadian Premier League. We'll talk about this more on the Two Solid Dudes Thursday show tomorrow, which you can subscribe to by going to patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. $2 a month. Yeah, two, as in 50 cents a week, will give you access to 4 exclusive shows per month where Dwayne and I talk and banter and rant and whatever we feel like doing about Canadian soccer, the Canadian Premier League, Canadian men's national team, women's national team, and the 3 Major League Soccer Canadian team, as well as the USL team of the Ottawa Fury. We'll talk about this more tomorrow. And as always, until then, for Dwayne Rollins, I'm Kevin Laramie. Have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.